Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Better-than-expected quarterly profits reports helped boost Wall Street's major indexes. They included ServiceNow, the artificial intelligence company, and Southwest Airlines. A 19-year-old from New Jersey facing an arson charge for the wildfire burning in the southern part of the state, Ocean County Prosecutor Bradley Bilheimer.
We used some investigative techniques that I don't necessarily want to disclose at this time, but some technological advances, I can say publicly, that we were able to place him at the scene, and we have some witness statements that corroborate that.
Federal judge today issuing a preliminary injunction blocking the proof of citizenship requirement before registering to vote pending legal challenges. Scheduled to be executed tonight in Alabama by lethal injection after dropping his appeals, James Osgood, 55, saying he's guilty of raping and murdering a woman, and he doesn't want to keep wasting everybody's time and money. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. New data from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction found most students are missing school less often year over year, but students from low-income families are still missing school at a higher rate. According to the data, overall chronic absenteeism dropped by about 2% from the 2022-23 school year to last school year. The overall rate in the 2023-24 school year was 17.7%, but the data found students from low-income families are still missing more than 1 in 10 days of school at a rate of nearly 30%. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is looking for public feedback on a proposal to use a specific herbicide and pesticide under special permits. The proposal would include granting conditional approval for the special pesticide registrations of Lorax DF and Stinger HL to manage pest issues with carrots and strawberries when already federally registered options fail. The proposal would allow the use of the herbicide and pesticide through 2029. Public comments on the proposal will be accepted until April 29th. Washburn County wildlife experts are reminding residents to avoid using lead tackle during fishing season to help protect local animals that depend on the waterways. Experts say a wide range of animals could be affected by the use of lead tackle, ranging from the fish in the waterways themselves to eagles, swans, and turtles that feed on those fish. They're advising residents to clear out any lead lures and sinkers from their tackle boxes in favor of non-poisonous materials like tin, steel, and titanium. Hunters should also avoid using lead ammunition. A Comstock man has been sentenced to prison in connection to a police chase in Barron County. According to court documents, 41-year-old Zachary Sexton was charged with attempting to flee an officer in March. He entered into a deal pleading guilty to the charge, with previously filed charges of possession of methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia being dismissed. He also allegedly told officers he fled because he had a warrant out for his arrest on the drug charges at the time. Sexton was sentenced to 1 year in prison and 3 years of extended supervision. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the NFL Draft tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the NFL Draft is getting underway. Thousands of fans and the network's broadcasting live. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst asked, after being just one game away from the Super Bowl 2 years ago, where does he think the team is heading into this season?
I think we're growing. You know, we lost our last three games, right? I think that's a tough pill to swallow. I don't think we can get very far away from that and understand that we got a lot of work to do. But I do like our group. I think they're eager, and I think they're all kind of entering a phase where they're going to be playing their best football. So I think we're really excited about that.
NBA, the Bucks back home, getting ready for the Pacers for Game 3 tomorrow night. Indy leads that series 2-0. Baseball, Brewers losing to the Giants 4-2. Pat Murphy on the decision to pull Freddie Peralta in the 6th.
We believed that he could do it, and then 2 quick hits, and then 0-2 to ball 4. I didn't like that, and then he was at 96, and one of those things.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some showers for tonight, lows in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, rain wraps up early, partial clearing for the afternoon, and a high in the mid-50s. Sunshine returns for Saturday, highs in the low 60s. Then a couple of showers around again on Sunday, mid-60s. Currently, it's 47 degrees.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson.
When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jay, Matt, Nair, and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer joins us from the recombobulation area. We'll talk about Joe Zepecki throwing his hat in the ring to head up Wisconsin Democrats. Also, a little audio sorbet. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hope you are having a really excellent Friday Eve. I've got a great guest co-host in the chair with me today. His name's Tom Paulswitz, two-time congressional candidate, Navy veteran, leadership coach, small business owner, and all-around reasonable guy. Thanks for being with Tom and I this afternoon. We've been talking about some pretty incredible news that's been breaking over this past half an hour or so about Pete Hegseth. Is this sound that we've got, is this Hegseth sound, Cal? Okay. And okay, so I wanted to be sure I had straight in my head what we had going on here. So, no, I don't want to blow a minute and 50 seconds listening to Pete Hegseth melt down. Tom, I'm going to just go out on a limb here and make a wee bit of a prediction. I think Donald Trump is going to continue to support Pete Hegseth, but if these reports keep piling up, I think it's going to get harder and harder to defend. And like one morning, we're going to wake up and Hegseth will be gone. Right. Old DJT will be like, "Boop, nope, you're done. Enough, thank you. Over it." So let's talk.
I actually think there's a higher chance that he implodes before Trump gets rid of him.
You mean
that something happens? He says something so egregious that there'll be no choice but to remove him.
That's interesting.
I mean, at this point, I mean, if the pressure's already getting to him,
yes,
there is no pressure yet. So I think, you know, that's the path we're on. So we'll see what happens, though.
It's fascinating. Let's talk a little Ukraine, Tom. And folks, if you want to join Tom and I in a discussion this afternoon, because we're all about that real breaking news and great discussions at Civic Media, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Donald Trump, just earlier today, I can't believe I even have to say some of these things.
Yes.
Donald Trump earlier today said that, oh yeah, Russia's going to make concessions. Their concessions in this grand deal that he's striking are they'll stop the war and they won't take all of Ukraine.
Right, not all of it.
What?
The huge concession by the Russians. Huge concession.
This is ridiculous. So yes. I just want to distill for everyone this. Here's what Ukraine is going to get air quotes here, get in this wonderful deal that Donald Trump has negotiated.
Right.
A quote, robust security guarantee.
That's not a guarantee.
That's not a guarantee at all.
Right.
It's totally vague. And there's no mention of any U.S. participation in said peacekeeping. And on the flip side, guess what Russia gets? Ukraine can never join NATO. So the very organization that would provide a robust security guarantee, they can never join. Right. And it's, you know, just a little vague promise. They'll get a, Ukraine would get a small part of Kharkiv. Not the whole thing, just a small part of the territory that Russia took. They'll get unimpeded passage to the Dnieper River, which runs along the front line in parts of southern Ukraine. Again, this was sovereign Ukrainian territory before Russia invaded. And vague notions of compensation and assistance for rebuilding, though this two-page document, very detailed, these Trump negotiators, this two-page document says not a whit about where said funding will come from. So, yeah, I'm sure that'll sort out. Oh, of course, there has to be the U.S.-Ukraine minerals deal, so they got to give us their minerals. They will get to keep, because it was in Ukrainian territory, this nuclear power plant, but it's going to be operated by the United States, and they're going to provide energy to the U.S. and Russia.
And they'll have to pay for their own electricity.
Yes. That's fabulous.
Because we have to recoup, our costs somehow.
And on the flip side, Russia gets to keep control of Crimea permanently. Russia gets to keep nearly all of the Luhansk Oblast and the occupied portions of three major regions of Ukraine. Again, Ukraine can never join NATO. Oh, no more sanctions. Those will be gone. And they get enhanced economic cooperation with the United States, particularly in the energy and industrial sectors. So to summarize, folks, here's what Ukraine gets. Here's what Russia gets. Everything they've always wanted.
And wait, wait, what does Russia give up in this transaction?
These are all Maggie Dawn invented sound cues. Not off a production board. I'll just do them on the air with everybody. Like, here's what Russia gives up. Nothing.
Nothing. They give up the ability to take over the rest of Ukraine.
Unbelievable. Yes. I think we've got some audio of Trump saying this. Do we not have this audio? Let's take a listen. This reporter says, what concessions is Russia going to make? Let's listen.
What concessions, Mr. President, and to your national security team, what concessions has Russia offered up thus far to get to the point where you're closer to peace?
Stopping the war, stopping taking the whole country. Pretty big concession.
Did you hear the laughter?
Yes!
There was actual laughter in that room.
Chuckling!
Because it's so absurd. Now, who knew stopping a war was difficult?
Harder than a real estate deal that you close with someone else's money that you'll never pay back and just, you know, bankrupt that and never pay a contractor.
Who knew?
A little bit
who
harder.
Who knew it was going to be complicated?
Than
who
a casino knew? In Atlantic City. Just a week, you know, running racially discriminatory rental practices.
Right.
You know, and extracting value from working class New Yorkers. Little harder than doing that, Donald.
And we talked about this before, right? Donald Trump is so transactional that anything that takes longer than a minute to work through, he loses interest, moves on, and just assumes that people know what they're doing, you know? And he actually told Marco Rubio, we're moving on, right? Like it's possible just to move on to the next transaction.
Well, this is the thing. Like,
it's insane.
Underlying all this, and that clip, Marco Rubio is sitting immediately to the president's left. Who are you, Marco? How does that man sleep at night? We know Donald Trump has, I don't want to say has no soul. The man feels no guilt. He's never asked the Lord
no guilt
for
or
forgiveness.
Shame,
right? No guilt, no shame. I can say because he said so. He was asked, have you ever asked God for forgiveness? Answer, no, I don't do that. I just do what I do, basically was the answer.
Right.
So he feels no shame, no guilt, no remorse, doesn't reflect on whether or not any of this is actually going to work. Marco Rubio has never said or done any of the things that he's doing now in his entire career. Sellout. Right. Not little Marco. What's a good... Marco the sellout. I mean, Faust.
As a senator, wasn't he involved in a bill that made sure that Russia could not take over or be awarded the area they're being awarded now? He was key. He was instrumental in the passage of that bill.
Yes.
And here he is now going,
just give them everything they want. It's fine.
3 years later.
Now, listen to this. This is how little Marco characterizes his complete abandonment of all of the values and things he held sacred for all of his 40 plus years on this planet. His defense of Ukraine for decades. His entire foreign policy worldview as a United States senator is now reduced to give Russia everything it wants because Trump says so. And this, Calvin.
Both very much looking to make a deal. Marco, what would you say?
Well, first of all, the what was put before our partners was options to discuss about things that it would take to end a war. This war is endable. Both sides just have to agree to it. We've shown them a pathway forward. We've discussed those ideas. There was a good meeting yesterday. There'll be good meetings over the weekend. We've shown them the finish line. We need both of them to say yes. But what happened last night with those missile strikes should remind everybody of why this war needs to end. It's horrible those missiles landed. What's even worse is there are today people that were alive yesterday that are not alive today because this war continues. And the president wants to stop it. And everyone should be thanking the president for being a peacemaker and trying to save lives. That's what we're trying to do here. It's not our war. We didn't start it, as you know. But we're trying to end the dying. We're trying to end the destruction. And we've shown the path forward. We can see the finish line, but both of them have to get there. We're going to do everything we can to help them get there, but they have to ultimately say yes.
Both. And we are using a lot of pressure on both. You know, if you think we're just in there because we're nice people, and we are nice people, but we're using a lot of pressure on both.
We're using a lot of pressure. We're nice people. I'm nice people. Little Marco, he's little, but he's nice. It's incoherent nonsense. What did Marco Rubio just say? War bad, peace good. Do what we say. Screw you, Ukraine. I mean,
there were missiles. Not saying it was the Russian missiles targeted against Ukrainian civilians. That's not what he said. He said, "Well, there's missiles. It's war.
That's bad. War bad, peace good. Screw you, Ukraine." Well, that's the cliff notes on what Marco Rubio just said in the Oval Office.
And the pressure they're putting on Russia was Donald Trump posting on Truth Social for them to stop it.
Yes, a two-line Truth Social post earlier this morning, the day before yesterday, about 25 lines telling Zelensky that he needs to do what the hell Donald Trump is telling him to do. Two lines for Russia, 25 lines telling Zelensky he's a bad guy. By the way, here are the facts on some of these negotiations. Let's see here. Steve Witkoff, Trump's envoy, has been meeting with Putin, fourth meeting with Putin, hasn't met with Zelensky in the last couple of weeks. Met with Putin for more than 4 hours last week. Do you think Putin just handed him his grocery list for Ukraine? Hey, here, Witkoff, give this to little Marco and then the orange man, because we've got the Comprobot. Here's my list of stuff that I'd like.
Well, when you're a real estate developer, you go where the money is, right? So, you know, it's not surprising they're going to the person who's going, who can give us the most back?
I mean, who's going to finance the hotels in Gaza? Tom, maybe the oligarchs out of Russia or the oligarchs here. We got Elon Musk still bopping around. Tesla stock down a resounding 72%. Maybe Elon slinking away. Don't be confused, everybody. Will continue.
Profit down 71%. Yes. Stock is holding in there for some bizarre reason. I don't know.
And I haven't even gotten to the meme coin. Haven't even mentioned the grift of all grifts. The pay to play is not even hidden anymore. Out in the open, top 220 donors to Donald Trump's pocket get a private dinner. We'll just put it through this thing called a meme coin, which isn't even really legit cryptocurrency. It's just a token. Just a fun
8 million
thing.
8 million from overseas today.
Oh, and the Chinese guy that seeded the first like 20 million so that they could trade it. And did I mention that the FCC has said that the meme coins aren't regulatable by the FTC? Yeah, that's beyond the FTC's scope. This isn't corruption. It's just, it's totally above board. When we come back. Yeah, business, baby, business. When we come back, we're going to be joined by my good friend, Pete Konotek. We're going to talk about what a climate-safe pension is and why that should be important to every Wisconsinite. Billions invested by WRS. Can they go to things that aren't big oil? We discuss next right here on the Magnon.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Voting proof of citizenship efforts are afoot in Michigan, while voters await the outcome of the Federal SAVE Act and a Trump executive order requiring similar restrictions. This despite no evidence of widespread non-citizen voting in Michigan or anywhere else in the U.S. In Michigan, a constitutional amendment which failed to achieve a two-thirds majority in the legislature just received the go-ahead to collect signatures for a citizen ballot initiative instead. If organizers meet the signature requirements, it could appear on the 2026 ballot. The Michigan proposal requires any new registering voters to show, quote, a birth certificate, passport, and/or other documents, and would eliminate the use of sworn affidavits for voters without approved IDs. Voters without citizenship documents could cast a provisional ballot, but must return with the documents within 6 days for it to count. While that may keep the 20, that's 2-0, alleged Michigan non-citizens from voting, 1 in 9 Americans don't have ready access to citizenship documents, and over 5.8 million Michigan citizens don't own a U.S. passport, according to the Center for American Progress. On the national proof of citizenship front, a federal circuit court ruling on President Donald Trump's March 25th order is expected April 24th, and the SAVE Act is in the U.S. Senate, but unlikely to overcome the filibuster. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm not Cecilia. I'm Maggie. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thursday, everybody. And happy Earth Week, Earth Month.
Yes.
Here in Wisconsin, I like to think of us as having a proud tradition of deep, almost reverent respect for our natural resources. Every single person I know, whether it's a family living in the downtown Milwaukee area or my uncle living in northern Wisconsin, who's an avid hunter and fisherman, everybody I know in the state of Wisconsin enjoys recreating in some way, shape, or form in the out of doors. And boy, is that good for the soul. And so don't we all have a collective responsibility to make sure that these beautiful natural resources that we've enjoyed for our entire lives are there for our kids and grandkids. My next guest, his name is Pete Konotek. He's with Climate Safe Pensions, and he's here. It is wonky, folks, but it is important wonk. Want to welcome Pete to the show. I've got a co-host with me. You'll hear him in your headphones, Pete. Tom Paulswitz, this fine afternoon. Welcome back to the show, Pete. You were with me last year during Earth Week. Tell us, what is your organization about and why is this important?
Well, I'm really happy to be back, Maggie. Climate Safe Pensions for Wisconsin is made up mostly of Wisconsin retirement system participants. And we're calling on the State of Wisconsin Investment Board to divest our pension savings from financially risky and environmentally irresponsible fossil fuel investments. So they manage about $162 billion in total assets. But I'm concerned, and we're concerned about climate change and the $6 billion of SWIB investments that's in fossil fuel-related holdings. But it's crucial to understand that the risk is not just about fossil fuel companies. The broader understanding is that it's about climate finance risk.
That's great. And I just want to emphasize a couple of things there. First of all, Pete, you are and have been a public servant. You have served the people of Wisconsin. So I just want to start out by saying Climate Safe Pensions of Wisconsin are a group of the real public servants. And so I want to say thank you to you and all of your colleagues that have served us as Wisconsin residents. Folks, these are the people that make government work and work very well for you. And you mentioned SWIB, which is the State of Wisconsin Investment Board. The State of Wisconsin Investment Board is the specific entity that is charged with making the investment decisions. In other words, where does your money, the pensioners' money for the State of Wisconsin Public Employees Pension Fund, referred to also as the Wisconsin Retirement System, where do they invest that $162 billion? And right now, Pete, if I understood what you're saying, $6 billion of that is in big oil.
Yeah, that's right. But it's a slightly more complicated situation. And we're happy that over the last year, since I was last on the show, we've managed to get a little bit more attention of SWIB. We're happy that over 1,000 people, mostly WRS participants, have signed our online petition at Wisconsin, climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. And in addition to that, we've encouraged people to write to SWIB in their public comment apparatus at their website. Over the last year, 90% of the comments have been asking them to do something better about climate change and finance risk.
I think that's so critically important. And then I'm going to toss it to you, Tom, but I want to make this observation, and I want people to clock in what we're talking about here. So $6 billion are being invested on behalf of retirees and future retirees that are public servants in the state of Wisconsin. Big oil, going back to the 60s and 70s and 80s, had internal studies that predicted with absolutely breathtaking accuracy, rising sea levels, the amount of air pollution, pick the thing. They knew what fossil fuels would do to the environment. And they knew it with, again, breathtaking accuracy. They lied to the public. They lied to Congress, just like Big Tobacco did. And as a result, taxpayers in places like Wisconsin are going to have to outlay billions of dollars. These are effectively corporate subsidies that will go to help shoring up our infrastructure, remediating floods, all of the. So we're underwriting, we're passing subsidies to big oil while they reap, again, windfall profits, bigger profit margins than they have in decades, both in percentage and in absolute dollars. Pete, you want people to sign this petition. You can find it at climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. You want SWIB to divest from big oil. Is that the objective here?
It's a little broader than that now, Maggie.
Tell us.
And it has to do with is growing an understanding around climate finance risk. And that is readily apparent in areas such as banking, government, insurance, mortgages, and real estate. And SWIB has not addressed our specific questions about their plan to address the risks that are much broader than just fossil fuel related holdings. They have holdings in insurance companies and in banking.
Meaning the industries that help support big oil and fossil fuels.
And the whole economy.
Yes.
Because when you look at what happens with the big storms that are happening with the urban and wildfires.
Yes.
Those result in devastating losses. Look at California. They just had massive urban fires. That is what transitions from a wildfire. So thousands of homeowners there are either uninsured or underinsured. And so what that results in is people without mortgages, then they can't have proper insurance, and you have climate-induced credit crunch.
Yes. Incredibly fascinating topic. Folks, you can find out more. You can sign that petition at climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. Can't wait to talk to you again, Pete. Let's do that. We'll dig in more about the connectivity in our economy to fossil fuels and the risk that it poses to taxpayers and the entire economy. More soon. We'll get you signed up to do that, Pete. Keep it locked. We're going to talk about taxing the rich, the threat of Donald Trump's terror tariffs here in Wisconsin in your family's pocketbook with a very special guest when we come back next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. State Democrats have introduced legislation to protect access to abortion in the state by repealing restrictions like ultrasound requirements and insurance coverage bans. On Wednesday, State Representative Lisa Subek and State Senator Kelda Royce officially introduced the Abortion Rights Restoration Act. In addition to repealing those restrictions, the legislation would also repeal the 1849 law that effectively banned abortion in the state following the Dobbs decision. The state Supreme Court is also considering a lawsuit challenging that law. Wisconsin Senators Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson have announced the renewal of the bipartisan Wisconsin Federal Nominating Commission. The bipartisan commission was established to make recommendations for open U.S. attorney and federal judicial positions in the state. The goal is to ensure that officers of the judicial system are being selected for their dedication to applying the law impartially rather than altering the law to support policy or ideological agendas in the justice system. A number of U.S. attorney positions are currently open in the state. Duluth transportation officials say they've crossed a significant milestone in the Twin Ports Interchange project. According to the Minnesota Department of Transportation, the final beam for the interchange project was set on Tuesday, officially completing a key structural phase of the reconstruction effort. When work is completed in full, officials say the Twin Ports Interchange will be more efficient and safe. The Department of Transportation is also planning to hold a virtual public meeting to give residents an update on the project on Monday afternoon. Construction work is officially underway on a pipe replacement project in Ashland. City officials say its water intake pipe, going about 4,000 feet into Lake Superior, serves as its primary water supply. The pipe was originally built in 1881 and has undergone significant repairs over the past 100 years. Now, city officials say the cast iron pipe has lasted beyond its anticipated usefulness and is at risk of failure. With supplies and equipment now on hand, a new water intake pipe will be installed at least 6 feet below the bed of Lake Superior. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's lots of Star Wars news lately. Here's the latest. Andor makes its return for season 2. The show returns almost 2 years after the finale of season 1. Diego Luna plays Cassian Andor, just like he did in Rogue One. The show is crushing on Rotten Tomatoes at 98%. Season 2 will have 12 episodes. The first 3 episodes dropped Tuesday, April 22nd. Disney Plus will release 3 episodes every week on Tuesdays, totaling a 4-week run. Disney Plus says this will be the final season of the popular show. In more Season 2 news, Nathan Felder is back for Season 2 of The Rehearsal. The hilariously awkward creator of the show is also the leading man as he tries to help people get better at living their own lives by rehearsing them. Things usually go very wrong, and therein lies the hilarity. Season 2 will have 6 episodes, just like the first season. The HBO show drops every Sunday night following The Righteous Gemstones. Happy Weird Sunday Night on Max, everyone. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some showers for tonight, lows in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, rain wraps up early, partial clearing for the afternoon, and a high in the mid-50s. Sunshine returns for Saturday, highs in the low 60s. Then a couple of showers around again on Sunday, mid-60s.
Currently, it's 47 degrees.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft.
But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross, calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future? And what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that?
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll continue to look at the NFL draft in Green Bay, some news of the day, and our old friend Peter Rapine with a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Talking about tax policy this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I know I do. We've got just the most fabulous guest to do that with each of us this afternoon. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got Tom Paulsiewicz with me in the guest co-host chair, and we've got a fantastic new guest to bring on with us. His name is Indy Duttagupta. He is the Doris Duke Distinguished Fellow at Georgetown University, formerly a House Ways and Means Committee staffer, has worked for the Center for American Progress and the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, excuse me. And he just published two papers that you can find at the Roosevelt Institute on the care economy and tax policy. Indy, thank you so much for making time and coming to talk about what I call Donald Trump's tariff terror that is going to tax the hell out of the middle class and working people, especially right here in Wisconsin. I heard commentary today on, I believe it was Wisconsin Public Radio, saying that a state like Wisconsin is going to be hit especially hard by Donald Trump's tariff policies. Can you help us understand why we're particularly vulnerable here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, look, Wisconsin, well, first of all, Maggie and Tom, as well, it's great to be here with you all talking about these issues and what it means for regular people, because that's really what matters here. And you think about a state like Wisconsin and, you know, it's not just a sort of stereotype. The reality is there's a lot of agriculture and a lot of dairy agriculture, manufacturing, construction. And these are industries that are highly dependent on both selling our goods elsewhere and inputs into making things that come from abroad. Because over the last few decades, we've created a very sort of internationally interdependent economy. So folks in Wisconsin will absolutely feel things like job loss in the local communities, higher prices. I've heard from folks who farm in dairy, for example, and say with the deportation too, which, you know, is a real risk here in undermining the economy, that they won't be able to produce milk and cheese.
Yeah, it's just shocking the scope of impacts that we are anticipating here in Wisconsin. And Indy, I wanted to ask you this. I do not understand how we can function as an economy, how regular people can live in a state that is not existential economic fear when we have a stock market that is up and down like a yo-yo based upon our fearless leaders' moods. One day tariffs, yes. Next day tariffs, no. Market goes up and down. It all seems to read, again, basically Trump's moods. He criticizes the heck out of the Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell, right? Market goes down. Next day, he gets reined in a little bit. Maybe softens that, but market goes back up. This is not the way things are supposed to be. And the uncertainty about tariffs is going to make it very hard for businesses here in Wisconsin to decide whether to hire more people, whether to expand, whether to continue to produce what they're producing, whether to stockpile inputs needed in their supply chain. Can we continue like this? Is this workable?
No, this is absolutely undermining the basic living standards of Americans going forward. So on the one hand, we're feeling this anxiety, and some people, say, for example, who are near retirement, are really in a tough position and may have to accept just lower incomes during retirement because of their investments, which were thought to be relatively safe in U.S.-based companies, no longer being so safe. And then on the other hand, you've got even small businesses who might depend on partners in Canada or partners in Mexico. And, you know, there's a lot we can do to strengthen U.S. trade policy, but probably putting someone with such unilateral sort of power at the helm of it isn't a great idea for anyone. And in the long run, people need some predictability. How do you build a business? Like, say you're just, you know, someone working on their own, selling things online on Etsy or something. Well, you know, maybe you were buying let's say you're buying pieces of metal from China or somewhere. Is it essential that the U.S. also make that? I mean, I think the other thing that folks don't understand is we export a lot of things to the rest of the world, including services. So
services, yeah.
The University of Wisconsin-Madison is a great example, right? So education is a major export of the United States of America. And we are taking one of our greatest economic strengths, and UW-Madison is just one example. There's others in Wisconsin. But we're taking one of our greatest economic strengths here, and we're undermining it. We're making it hostile for people to come to, from other countries especially, to do important work like cancer research. It's completely wild. I couldn't imagine a better set of arguments for not concentrating so much power in one president, in any president.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the other thing I've been thinking about is, you know, I work with a bunch of small business owners, and the uncertainty of what's happening in the economy is holding it. It's really causing people to basically be paralyzed when it comes to making money decisions. So investing in new plants, investing in new equipment, hiring people, all sorts of things. I just find there's this constant waiting going on right now. So there's the hard dollar cost of tariffs and everything else, but there's this soft thing that's causing the economy just to slow. And I don't see anything coming out of the Trump administration even recognizing it or having a plan to do something about it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Tom. Well, first of all, that's exactly right. It's a rational behavior for small businesses to look around and figure out what can I predictably take a risk on and take a reasonable risk on. Where should I invest? Should I partner with this firm? Should I expand in this way or that way? We need stability for that. That's partly why you saw Maggie brought up the attacks on the chair of the Federal Reserve, because that undermines stability. And actually, when you have some stable financial systems and markets and some predictability, people can do great things. But when you don't, it's the completely rational thing to do to be paralyzed, like you said, Tom. Do I see anything from the administration that might mitigate this? Well, I guess once in a while, the right person catches the right person's attention at the right moment. And that is just a terrible way to run an economy and to run economic policy.
Right.
Well, and Indy, you mentioned the right person happens to catch the president's ear. We know, you know, Scott Bessent has been speaking up, raising all kinds of concerns. But you got Peter Navarro talking in his other ear like, oh, yeah, tariffs are the solution. They have not worked well in the United States past, despite the president's selective memory on that. In fact, helped exacerbate the Great Depression. And we had to have literally the CEOs of, what was it, Target, Walmart, two other major retailers in the Oval Office saying, there's going to be a run on our products and store shelves will be bare. Do you want pictures of people in literal bread lines under your administration? And then he relents on the reciprocal tariffs. I want people to realize, and Indy, please correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't yet begun to feel the actual impact of the trade war with China, which just today, which is a tariff war, that's what we mean when we say trade war, 145% tariffs from the U.S. on Chinese imports, China at 125%, Trump and Bessent indicating yesterday, oh, yes, we've got these robust negotiations going on. China puts out a statement today. No, there's zero negotiations going on. We haven't begun to yet feel the pain of that particular, what I'm going to call, brinksmanship. There's no movement. How do they get out of this? And we haven't, again, even felt the pain point yet.
Well, some of us as consumers maybe have it. But again, if you think about what Tom just laid out about how paralyzed some small businesses feel, you've got a business that makes board games that's bringing forth a legal suit against the Trump administration. You know, this is another really important point. Maggie, you brought up CEOs of major profitable companies having the president's ear. Well, what about somebody who makes board games? What about somebody who runs a bed and breakfast, a B&B, somewhere near the Canadian-US border, right? So this is also just a complete recipe for corruption, for favoritism, for cutting deals left and right. And what here is even the strategy? You can imagine some role. There's always been some tariffs here and there, and it can help when another country's violating environmental protections or labor protections. But what's the strategy here? We're going to exempt electronics from China, which would be advanced manufacturing, potentially decent jobs, and encourage Americans to start making sneakers?
Yes.
Who is asking for this? Who voted for that?
It's so utterly confusing. And thank you so much, Indy, for bringing up the corruption. This is access economics, which is a fancy cleaned up way of saying it's favor trading. Those that have the president's ear, who have donated to him. We've got reports on the $250 million inauguration. Those are the people who he listens to. With the meme coin happening, the potential for people literally to pay to play, to have exemptions for their business to get out of the trade war so that they can continue business is at the highest it has potentially been in literally 100 years in American history. What should we be doing? What should the regular person, all the folks listening right now, Indy, what should we do?
Well, look, let's remember, first of all, that the president isn't all that popular. So there's a lot of scary things happening, especially for immigrants, but also just folks who are in higher ed institutions or work on the climate environment. But we still have a voice and people still have the ability to influence both what their members of Congress and senators do, but also, you know, at the state level, right? States can be a bulwark here to both protect our economy and our democracy. And I think the less popular the president is, the more likely that others will kind of, you know, go against his wishes. There are people, like we had a Republican senator from Alaska say she was afraid to speak up against the president. Yes. And others are too. That's a terrifying thing to say in a democracy, right? But the less popular he is and the more that people are very clear about its tangible harms that they're experiencing, we haven't even gotten to the forthcoming cuts to Medicaid, SNAP,
right.
Potentially housing assistance, childcare, and the like. But we still have a chance to put some of the worst possibilities out of play. We've prevailed here or there, for example, on Social Security administration when Musk and the Doge team tried to cut phone service, which people, especially in rural areas, really depend on.
Folks, that is Indy Duttagupta. He is the Doris Duke Distinguished Fellow at Georgetown University in the McCourt School of Public Policy. You can find two of his most recent research papers at the website, I want to get this exactly correct, RooseveltInstitute.org, on the care economy and tax policy. Remember this whole tariff thing? Yeah, that's just a way to make working people and the middle class pay way more than our fair share. Tax the rich, y'all. We'll be back in just a moment right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network for some final thoughts. Thank you, Indy. Keep up the good work.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Here's another 107.5 WLAK community reminder. The Deronda Lutheran Church has a Swedish meatball dinner coming up this Saturday, April 26th. They're located right off of County Road F in Amory. That's the Deronda Lutheran Church Swedish Meatball Dinner, Saturday, April 26th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do not get caught in the crossfire unless you are a brave, brave soul. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the last segment of the day. My, how time flies when we're having a great conversation. Thanks so much to my guest co-host today, Tom Paulswitz, with me for the whole 2 hours. I'll be back tomorrow. We got Pete Schwabe coming up. I almost said Pete Hegseth because we were talking about him so much today. We got Pete Schwabe coming up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. For a little night light, you're going to want to stick around and ease into your Thursday afternoon and Friday eve. Just in case you're keeping score, and we're going to talk about two different kinds of scores, Donald Trump chalking up three big losses today in federal courts. Yes. Three separate federal judges today putting on hold his bogus executive order on DEI, on sanctuary cities, and this crazy thing to muck about in our election system. Some nonsense, unnecessariness about voter registration, all put on hold.
Who knew they were going to be illegal? Who could have thought?
It's like, who knew Pete Hegseth was going to be terrible? Who knew?
Right. Who knew?
90% of Donald Trump's executive orders are unconstitutional.
Right.
Most of us did. And this score, I'm sad to report the Brewers dropping one to the Giants today in a heartbreaker of a game. Final score on that game, 6-5. Oh, So very. They may have. Sad.
You know, they've always had such a great bullpen. They may have a bullpen problem right now. So we'll see what they can do over the next couple of weeks to work that out.
It also is not helpful when our dearest Christian Yelich dropped a fly ball in the eighth. Ouch. Guess who is right. at bat? Adamas, Willie Adamas, now playing with the Giants, traded in the offseason, or I should say not signed.
Did he do it on purpose? I don't know.
Now, I have been talking to a bunch of my friends, speaking of sports, a goodly number of people heading up to Green Bay to get in on the NFL draft action. Are you watching this closely, Tom? Are you interested?
Oh yeah, I'll be watching tonight. I always watch the draft. You know, it's the weirdest thing though. It's one of the few places left where, you know, as an employee, you don't have a say on where you can go to work, and it's all legal. It's all legal at this point. At some point, that's going to have to come up, but. Anyways, the draft is tonight. Green Bay's rocking and rolling. We talked to I can't remember his name. Who was the gentleman we had on last week? The PR person from the Packers. He was fantastic.
Yes. Brian Reinsinger.
Yeah, they did so much to get ready and get everything put together. And I love Green Bay, and I hope the rest of the country falls in love with it too tonight. So that'd be fantastic.
When we had that conversation, and I often joke that America's team ain't the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones with the world's biggest jumbotron. It is the fan-owned Green Bay Packers, smallest town with any professional sports franchise in the United States, anticipating tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions in economic activity in the Green Bayland area. So do you have a fantasy team, Tom?
Football? No, I stopped playing fantasy football a long time ago. I play fantasy baseball though. I tend to enjoy that more,
which requires daily care and feeding. I figured I did a fantasy baseball league last year and came in dead last. Cause I was like, I can't trade football people every day.
Football, I just like to enjoy the game. You know, I get worked up while watching a Packer game. So I like to watch another game and not be emotionally invested in it. But that's me. So
I have a big group of guy buddies that I hang out with on occasion. And they're all in the same, all of us from law school together. And these nerds show up at a bar with their big binder. Like they have binders. For the draft as if they're actual owners or GMs. I find it hilarious. So I might be quaffing a couple bevies with my buds tonight.
But I got to tell you, Maggie, one of my most prized possessions is my rejection letter from Bob Harlan. When I applied for the position of salary cap person with the Packers back in 1999. So he actually wrote, typed out a letter, signed it and sent it to me. So
I've kept a couple of choice rejection letters myself, Tom, just because, you know, the trip down memory lane is pretty fun. Eric from Madison on the text line provides a correction to me. Maggie, America's team is neither the Dallas Cowboys nor the Green Bay Packers. It is the Detroit Rock City Lions. Listen, if I can't pick the Packers, Eric, my man, I would be rooting for them. Detroit Rock City Lions. I love me some Detroit. For real, though. Absolutely fabulous city. Love hanging out there. I'm in Michigan with some degree of regularity. I really love the city. I have a couple friends from the Grand Rapids area. And one of my favorite sports memories, not favorite, but like indelible, perhaps, sports memory. Yeah. Do you remember Chris Webber in the magical doesn't exist timeout after he traveled on the other end of the court? Big Michigan in the NCAA final.
The look on
his
face. Like, yes. Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. Yep.
Can't believe I did that.
Yeah. Absolutely memorable. How long ago was that? That was with Grant 90s, Hill, right?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. They're all retired now. Yes.
We're dating ourselves. sports memories. You do tend to, they do seal into the mind's eye.
Yes, they do.
So sad, Brew Crew. And I don't have baseball to watch tonight. I'll be watching the draft with my buddies and some bevvies. Yes. Get out there and enjoy the beautiful
Packers
weather.
Packers will be picking around 9:50 if you're that much of a geek.
I'll be
about
it, so. Two bevvies in, 9:50. Yep. Perfect timing.
There you go.
Listen, yep. Take care, everybody. Thanks so much, Tom P. He'll be back with me on Monday. Remember, Monday. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for our Packers, Bucks, and crew.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. An arrest for allegedly starting a wildfire. The fire in southern New Jersey, says Ocean County Prosecutor Bradley Bilheim.
We did arrest a 19-year-old young man from Waretown. His name is Joseph Kling.
No word about a motive. President Trump at the White House saying the U.S. and China are talking every day about trade and tariffs.
They had a meeting this morning, so I can't tell you. It doesn't matter who they is.
But China's publicly denying any talks with the U.S. are going on. A reporter asked President Trump about the report today showing sales of existing homes in March were the lowest since 2009.
No, they had very good numbers on housing today, extremely good numbers, and that's despite interest rates.
The housing report is a regular one from the National Association of Realtors. It says sales were the slowest since the end of the Great Recession. Wall Street major indexes closed higher on some better-than-expected corporate earnings reports. The Dow and the NASDAQ up over 400 points.